It's the only time I remember actually going to Quora. And so somehow I got subscribed to a cat's Quora list, and it would send me other questions that cat owners would ask. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I never opened them, but I would always get them. And so they just sit in my inbox. Well, then they started sending me not just cat related things, but the titles would be something like, my mom and my husband hooked up while I was on my deathbed. Wow. And now I don't know what to do.
Wow.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, my name is Stephen Green.
And today we are doing a topic that I don't know if it's a, it's not really like one topic. I had a topic that I prepared somewhat. Okay. And then today I was cleaning my Gmail inbox, which is, that could be a whole other topic of Shit They Don't Tell You, no, because I had no idea. I've never been able to keep a clear inbox. Like, I've always had thousands and thousands and thousands. Same. Of emails, and I've just got used to that number being very big. And so I had 98,000 something emails in there.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm just subscribed to a lot of things.
That's
and
such noob shit.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I should unsubscribe, but then there's so many things to unsubscribe from that I just like don't, because it's like, well, if I do one, I have to do all of them, and that's so many things.
I have 135,000.
See, that's exactly how
so
I was.
I feel you.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, point being, I learned some tricks that I didn't even know existed, because I'm such a noob. I don't know anything about all of the things that Gmail can do. It can do a lot of things. I just barely found out about the out of office thing that you can do, where you could do an automatic response with the vacations. Yes. I had no idea how people did that before. I recently found out how, but I came across a thread on how to organize your emails, and I'm like, wow, this stuff is so nifty. So you can like create filters that make it so that certain emails don't just go to your inbox. Like they never touch your inbox. They get filtered immediately to work or to like shopping or whatever.
What is this topic?
Okay, so I say that to say this.
Okay.
As I'm filtering my emails and going through them, and by the way, I did get down to zero, from 98,000 to zero.
Oh, wow.
It took 2 days, but I got there. While I'm going through them, I come across Quora. Which, have you ever
I have Quora.
You have Quora before it. I went on there one time to look up Joe, our cat Joe. Yeah. Our cat, we have a cat named Joe, and he has a pee problem. And the pee problem got very intense when we adopted new cats.
Yes.
And so I had gone on Quora to, well, I didn't go to Quora. I went to Google.
Nobody does.
And Quora came
up yeah,
about how to maybe have some alternative cures for this. It wasn't a medical problem. It was a behavioral issue. We went to the vet, and then he wouldn't take his anxiety meds. So there was alternative things that you could do, and Quora had a whole article. That's the only time I remember actually going to Quora. And so somehow I got subscribed to a cat's Quora list, and it would send me other questions that cat owners would ask. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I never opened them, but I would always get them. And so they just sit in my inbox. Well, then they started sending me not just cat related things, but the titles would be something like, my mom and my husband hooked up while I was on my deathbed. Wow. And now I don't know what to do.
Wow.
And so I would start going down rabbit holes.
Wow.
Because what kind of top, first of all, what the fuck, who are you? And why does Quora think I want to know about that from a cat list? Like, most of the things are about cats, but then all of a sudden they started sending me these random ones.
What did she do?
I don't have it.
You have to tell me.
I don't have it. Well, maybe we'll get there. It's in one of these. So I have an email from Quora.
Oh my God.
And I will take you now down the rabbit hole with me.
This is like weird. It's like Ask Us Anything, like opposite. We just want to hear what they have.
That. Yeah, we want to know. Yeah, so this is actually some shit that they don't tell you, but it's like a bunch of little shits that they don't tell you. And these things are the things that will take up your memory space. And it's mostly useless unless you happen to be in this very specific situation.
Okay.
So, in case you find yourself in one of these situations, there are answers for you on Quora, not sponsored. Okay, so I'm going to take you one by one through a couple of these, and you can tell me what you think about them. So, number one, if you win a lawsuit and the person refuses to pay, what could happen to them? Well, we'll tell you right now. So there was an interesting case about 7 to 8 years ago. Bank of America was trying to foreclose on someone's house. The problem was the homeowners had paid cash for the house and didn't have a mortgage with anyone. It took months of sorting with Bank of America before the foreclosure was dismissed. By that time, the homeowners had spent more than $2,000 on attorneys, which they asked Bank of America to pay for. Bank of America did not respond to them, so the homeowners took them to court and they received a judgment. Bank of America didn't respond and didn't pay, so the homeowners got an order allowing them to seize assets to pay for the fees.
Oh my God.
Sheriff's deputies showed up at a local branch to start taking furniture and whatever else they could sell to recover the amount.
The branch manager was so confused.
And then Bank of America handed the check over for the full amount. The fact that that's what it took is a little crazy.
Oh my God, dude. You know their corporate communications all fucked because they don't care because they're too busy fucking us.
Well, exactly. And who's going to go through those lengths to recover a small amount, small to them?
$2,000.
$2,000.
Literally nothing.
Yeah.
But then they didn't have the resources to give them $2,000.
What's cool about Quora, too, is that, and I think Reddit does this as well, but people will share all of their stories in the comment section of these. So there's multiple stories of what could happen if somebody doesn't pay if they get sued. And I don't know who these people are that not only find the posts but also take the time to type out all their stories, but God bless them because they're really interesting and funny.
Well, there's some people I found on Quora who are, they're like, hi, I have a doctorate in blah blah blah, and why do people fall for crypto when it's obviously such a scam? And I'm like, that is the most biased question I've ever heard asked. It sounds like something that gets asked in a presidential debate when you already love somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like there's no neutrality there. You're just like, hi, my question is, why does everyone fall for a scam? Because they're too stupid. It's like, great.
Well, those aren't the ones that we're reading.
No, I know. But that was when I found Quora.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Here's another one.
Okay.
If I see a police chasing a person and I trip the person to help the police, how likely am I to be charged with assault? How liable am I for a civil suit?
Oh no.
See?
Yeah, if they break
these
their
are
face.
Questions that, you know, you don't know the answer right. to. It's some shit that no one tells you.
Right.
Okay. So assuming you've tripped the person on purpose to enable the police to catch the person and it wasn't intended to severely harm the person, like you didn't trip the person at the top of a long stairway or next to a cliff, you're probably okay. Helping the police stop someone whom they are pursuing might be considered a citizen's arrest, and if your actions are reasonable, in any event, it seems unlikely a district attorney would consider this charge worth pursuing or likely to result in conviction. Likewise, if the suspect sued you, it's unlikely he or she would win a verdict once it's apparent that you tripped him to help the police catch him as he was fleeing the police.
But do you get a key to the city?
I don't believe you get a key to the city.
Aww.
Then this person says, I do not think that's correct. You're not authorized to engage in a citizen's arrest in this circumstance. You did not directly witness any crime being committed, and you yourself write that the police were not saying anything like, stop that man, which might lead to an argument, and you were sort of deputized to aid in stopping this person. Here you deliberately act to trip the person. So there's a whole debate on
what?
It. And then
Quora sounds like internet comment section from hell.
It is. But then it's funny because then people put in their personal stories. So this guy's like, I was involved in a purse snatcher arrest a few years ago. I saw the young offender knock over a lady, rip off her purse, made my wife turn the car around and found the lady and offender in a backyard. He had his boot off, smashing her over the head with his boot. I'm 70 years old at the time and didn't think twice about taking him down with my high school tackle. Held him for the police. The policeman could not stop laughing when he asked for my date of birth. In court a year later, the defendant's lawyer starts to bring up that he was smaller than me and he was using that to get him off, but the judge would have no part in it and thanked me for doing a citizen's arrest.
Hey.
Also involved in a violent armed robbery in our jewelry store a few years before. One of our staff was stabbed. If I had a gun like our American friends can, it would have been a different story for the robbers and I would just be getting out of prison in this country. Bad guys have all the rights. Thank you.
Where's that from?
Hmm?
Where's that? What country?
Well, I don't know what country. Whoa. Probably like the UK or
controversy.
Something. This person's like, a few years ago, I was at a shopping center and saw a man being chased by police. He stole a handbag from a lady. He turned to run past me and I spear tackled him to the ground. A handshake from police officers and I was sent on my way. They didn't even take my name down. And then a few of these people say that like they helped the police and then the police was not, they weren't like,
enthused.
Hey,
yeah.
like, good cool. Job. Like, they were all like, hey, you should go. Right. Like, not like you can go, but right. like, if you don't, you don't want to get involved.
Right.
Basically.
Wow.
Because if you get involved, then maybe the person could press maybe charges.
Maybe,
on you.
Or maybe it's like the movies I've seen where the police are like, you don't want to be anywhere near this job because the job sucks you in.
Once you fight one crime, you'll want to fight them all. Okay. This one is, have you ever been invited to something that turned out to be another thing entirely?
Yes.
What did you get invited to?
A friend's bachelor party, which turned into a friend cheating on the person he was going to be with.
Oh my God. Well, that, I feel like that happens a lot with bachelor parties.
I feel like it does,
like,
too.
Why do people think that that's like a free ticket to cheat?
It's their last ticket.
It's so weird.
Why would you view getting married as your final ticket to like do whatever you want? Like, that's what I don't get about it. That's why I didn't do the strippers thing on mine. Not that I'm better than that. Like, I'm fine with strippers. I have no problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, if you're like, I forget get married, I'll never get to go to strippers or anything again. Why are you doing this to yourself if you like that?
Exactly. Yeah. Like if your marriage puts a prison around you, then why are you getting married?
If anything, the time that I went to strippers with friends for a bachelor party, it just made me want to fuck my wife even more. So it was awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Well, thank you.
No, thank you.
Okay. So I haven't read this yet, but that question, this was the original post. When I was 21, I was leaving Pittsburgh for greener pastures, and a friend and her husband wanted to take me out for what I believed was a goodbye lunch. After our food came, Kathy, quote unquote, and David, quote unquote, started telling me about their wonderful business, the amazing cleaning products, shampoos, energy drink powders they sold to friends and family, and also reasonably priced, too. Yes, they sold Amway products, and this farewell feast was a lengthy pitch to get me to sell for them. No matter how many times I said no, they would twist it around to something else. They sat on either side of me and talked over each other so that if I said no to one of them, the other would say no, so you can't sell right now, but you can later. I finally crawled beneath the table between their legs because it was the only way I saw to escape, and no, I never spoke to them again. I actually did go on a date that ended up, ended up being an MLM. Scheme.
Yeah.
Well, they're not technically pyramid schemes.
Mine was.
Oh, what was yours? What was it your company?
It was vacations, but it was also timeshare.
Timeshare?
Yeah. The whole jam. But it was like, if you.
Their whole thing is like, pyramid schemes are illegal, sir, so this obviously is not one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great refreshments, I have to say. Some of the best butter cookies I've ever had.
Not mine. Okay. I thought I was going on a date and I thought this guy really liked me and it turned out to be an MLM pitch.
Same. This was the third date.
And it was just at someone's house. It was just in someone's living room. He said we were going to his friend's business launch.
So I was at a gay club.
I wasn't done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I ended up signing up.
Oh.
Anyway, go ahead.
I was at the gay club with a friend, a work friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you never been to a gay club? I was like, no. He's like, dude, there are chicks there. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's
That's
like,
true.
Right. And he's like, no, like there are chicks who just go there to like be like, yay, I'm at a gay club or whatever. But then they look for the straight guys there. And I was like, I'm in. So I go. And sure enough, this like chick comes up to me and she's from the UK. And she's like got the accent and everything. And she's like, hi, like where are you from and all shit. And I was like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, you're straight, huh? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh my God, you're all mine then. And like, we went on like 3 dates.
Mm.
And
you never told me about this.
Well, we didn't do anything is why.
Okay.
But
this is an interesting story.
Yeah. So then we go on first date. It was fun. We went to like this cool Mexican restaurant in Hollywood. Second date, I don't remember where we went. I was getting a little bored with it already. And then by the third date, she's like, hey, come to this hotel. And I was like, what? I was like, I guess it's the third day. We're supposed to fuck now, right?
Yeah.
But so I show up at this hotel to get her. And she's like, no, babe, come out and come in the hotel. And we're going to this ballroom. And I go in the ballroom and it's an MLM like.
Oh, my God.
Property like vacation scam. And she's like, isn't this fantastic? She's like, this is what I think I want to do for money. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And she's like, yeah, and if you're here, then I get a certain percentage off.
I know exactly what this is, too, because I invited so many people to these.
Yeah.
Once I signed up and I was in it.
And I was horrified.
I
already knew what it was.
Would use that, too. Like, I would purposely look for single dudes. Like, and I would be like, oh, my God, do you happen to know
anybody? You worked an angle.
I was like, do you happen to know anybody that would want to make an extra $500 to $1,000 a month? Like, I've been looking right out. Are you not
interested? An extra income.
Can I get your number?
You were in the, you drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but I mean, I was also, you know how I am where like, I like to just know. Like, I just wanted to know what it was like. So my mom was in Amway, mm-hmm. and she'd already warned me against these things, you know? Like, so I grew up with her doing Amway and it not working for her. Yeah. And like, she told me all about it. So I knew what it was, like getting into it. I was like, oh, this is like Amway. And I was like, this is an MLM. You know, I knew everything about it, but I still was curious. Like, yeah. I wanted to know, like, what do you guys do? Like, mm-hmm. what is it like in there? And I will say that they're the ones that first introduced me to reading nonfiction books, like business books and personal development books. Like, all the books that I'm into now that I'm still into, they first kind of introduced me to that. And I don't think I would have been a reader if I hadn't been introduced to this realm of books.
Yeah. You got something out of the cult.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I never felt like that was, like, I never bought into the whole, like, this is what's going to make my dreams happen. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. I just loved being around the atmosphere and watch, like, observing all these people because they'd get so hyped. Everyone was obsessed with Tony Robbins and all these like gurus. But before this guru culture was around, like,
yeah,
this was like the original, like where they used to make all their money.
Right.
And so, yeah, like got in, and then I started dating a guy that was one of the trainers. So like, you know, I just got super into just being part of something.
So wait, you tell me this though. You're dating a cat who's part of the trainers.
Yeah.
But then you're targeting single guys too?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I would never like cross a line.
No. But why though? Did they teach you that? Were they like, this is what
they didn't teach me that, but I saw other girls doing it.
Whoa.
So it was effective. And I wasn't like overly flirty or anything. I wasn't like, hey, come meet me at this hotel. I wasn't like that. I actually would drop the boyfriend word in there before inviting them to hotel, like, so they knew it wasn't sexual or anything.
But why would you target single guys is what I'm curious about.
Oh, because, well, one, I lived in a college town and it was way easier to approach single guys than it would be to approach girls or guys in a relationship.
Got it.
Yeah, because I'm a girl.
But when you put it initially like that, it just sounds predatory. I'm like, shit. Okay, got it.
I feel like it is. Yeah, like, even though it's like, oh, we're sweet. But like, it was a comfortability thing, but also like, it was just an easier target.
Wow.
Than approaching a female or approaching, So that was an interesting time of life. But it would never got like flirty. It never was like, I never tricked anyone to thinking they were going on a date with me like what happened to me.
Yeah. You just tricked them into an MLM.
Yeah, but a lot of them thanked me.
Jesus.
Yeah,
you were like early 20s. You didn't know what the fuck you were doing.
I wasn't even early 20s. I was 18.
Fuck.
Yeah, bro. I was very young.
Okay.
Yeah, well, very,
Nikki's
very young.
Nikki's not saying any of this was okay.
No, I've done many videos on this too, by the way. Like, if you watch it. Okay, just to clarify, if you haven't heard any of my videos about it, no, I'm not for MLMs, but I thought that experience taught me a lot to apply to other areas of my life.
Yeah.
You know, and also I didn't really do a lot of the recruiting part, like, you know, like they have you do of bringing people there. I did more of the direct sales aspect, and I would actually we sold legal insurance. So I would actually sell it to companies as an employee benefit. So it felt more legit to me than just like,
well, 'cause you would use
selling cleaning products.
You would also use the service.
I used the service. I saved a lot of money using the service. It was also publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange.
Right.
So there was a lot of legitimacy to me that was beyond Amway.
Yeah.
And a lot of like utility for the service.
So it was just, you liked it.
But it was hella cheesy. Like all that stuff is real. And the selling the dream part, what they would always say to you at the conventions was that we're not selling a product, we're selling the dream.
Yikes.
And I thought that to me was a little scammy.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot.
Yeah.
It's
shystery.
Yeah. With like even these gurus that sell packages and stuff mm-hmm. nowadays, I see that a lot where you can get that product from a lot of different places, but you are buying into this dream that you could achieve what they have. Like, it's just interesting and weird. Yeah. But I want to write a show about it because there were so many specific characters that find their way into these MLMs that I think it's very interesting.
I feel like
the culture of it is interesting. I mean, people like can sometimes write sketches or write stuff about it, but they weren't in it for 2 years like I was. Yeah. Like, I know the inside and out of it. And I think it's so interesting.
Yeah.
So I was out by the time I was 20.
Right.
But yeah, I just...
What got you out?
Oh, I was pursuing acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like all of the books were really motivating because they're like, hey, never give up on your dreams. But I always knew my dream was acting.
Not selling Amway.
Not selling, yeah.
Or lawyer, legal insurance.
It literally, to me, was what it was pitched to me as, which was making an extra $500 to $1,000.
But then it makes them uncomfortable because you're leaving. You know, and then they're like...
Because I wasn't sold the dream.
Right.
By them.
The dream
yeah.
is supposed to be their scam.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I also... You know, I don't know. I just learned a lot and I was like, okay, I got enough out of this. Like, this was a learning experience yeah. and I graduated.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. So we are, okay, we're going to go on to the next one. This one's kind of funny. How do I tell my boss that my resignation letter was just a way to push for more salary and not actually resigning?
Holy
They're taking
shit.
It seriously.
Duh.
Don't do that.
Do a negotiation. Ask for a raise first. Don't just resign. The fuck are they doing?
Okay. She says she's disabled comments here because most notices for the comments are people who are writing their own answers or criticizing the person who asked the question.
Well, duh. It's a horrible, you have a horrible way of solving this problem.
Okay. So here's the answer.
Okay.
She says, my answer. Sadly, I see a lot of answers that are quite critical and judgmental. Some are sarcastic or start friendly and then turn. Sometimes I think people use questions like this more as a chance to practice writing skills or ways to take people down than to reach out and help.
That's more Reddit, honey, but it's okay.
Yeah. Let's break it. Yeah. You should comment that because yeah, you know, that'll show her.
Hey, babe, that's Reddit. Thanks.
Let's break it down in short. You wanted a higher salary. 2, to get this, you wrote a resignation letter. 3, your boss took it seriously. 4, your employer now expects you to leave. So let's examine the possible outcomes. First, the one you want to do is explain to your boss why you wrote that letter. Let's take a look at what could happen with that. How will your boss react? Sometimes it helps to think, how would I react? Remember though, in this case, your reactions will incline more toward what you want to happen than what they will likely do. So you tell your boss, he might say, okay, we'll just toss it. But he's likely already told HR and anyone else involved. Even if it's a small company, that's still at least the company owner or his boss. How will they respond when they hear that you did it only for negotiating a higher salary? It does make you look bad. Yeah. They've already started a plan for your departure. So when you tell them, I know you'd like them to say, oh, we understand. You can keep your job. We like working with you. But the chances are quite slim that they'll say that. Even if they do, your relationship with the company will have changed. The first thing they're going to be thinking is that this letter was a lie. They won't see it as a bluff, but as you writing something that was not true. I'm not trying to give you a hard time, but it's important to understand how they'll view this event. They took your letter at face value. They had no reason not to. Think about it. You wanted them to think, oh, he's going to leave, so let's pay him more. So you accomplished half of your intent. They took it seriously. The bad news is that rather than trying to get you to stay, they decided to let you go. So you did want them to take it seriously. You just wanted them to respond differently from how they
yes.
did.
Yes. No, yeah. You gave away your leverage, though.
Yeah.
Your leverage is over. I'm leaving if you don't. Well, guess what? You opened with, I'm leaving. So then they're like, okay, fuck. I guess you're leaving. And then you don't say what your terms are. You just said you're leaving. So
yeah.
There's no negotiation at all. It's just over.
Even if you don't, they're simply not going to trust you now as they did previously. Because now they just think.
No.
When you say one thing, you're just trying to manipulate the situation.
No, now they already have 18 resumes from other people who are looking for a job.
Yeah.
Like, you fucked up. Like they already know what their other options are. Like you gave away your leverage.
Yeah.
You never give away your leverage, ever.
You just ask for what you want.
Yes.
But I think they realized that after the fact.
Well, good. But it sounds like they disabled comments because they got sad about it.
Yeah. Okay. So the second option in this answer is you can lie to them and say the other job fell through. Can I stay? You may think that's a clever way to solve the problem and to stay in your job, but there's a good chance that they'll say, we're already in the hiring process.
Yeah. Can you take a pay cut?
Also, if they ever find out in any way that it was a bluff, they'll trust you even less than you try to explain it to them. Yeah. And they probably will try to negotiate your salary down.
They're going to get someone at an entry level compared to you to do your same job for cheaper than you.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You fucked up.
Such a huge mistake. Yeah, don't do that.
And then they say third, and everything above leads to this. You can go on and find a new job and leave. If you don't, then your boss will not value you as he did before. The best thing you could do is understand this was not wise and that you would have been better off negotiating with them directly.
That's what happens when you skim what to do in a negotiation and you see the part that says walk away and you're like, oh, yeah. I'll just start by walking away. No, you have to let people know your terms.
Yes.
Your terms. And then you walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Terms without walking away is you're just quitting.
And you mean the other way around. Walking away without terms.
Walking away without terms. Yeah. You're just quitting. Which, mm-hmm. yeah.
Why wouldn't they take it seriously?
Why wouldn't they accept that? Okay. We had a person quit. We have a process.
You're not
for
allowed
that.
To keep people against their will.
No kidding.
In any state. So.
Anymore.
Right. So yeah, that's wild. That sucks. Never do that.
Never do that.
If you want to keep your job.
Wow. That's a great one not to do though.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I have a few more interesting tidbits of information.
This is good shit.
In case you find yourself in any of these situations.
This enrages me.
I know.
That's good.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Okay. What is the most horrifying thing your parents have ever done? I'm going to read hers and then you can contribute if you want to. So this person says, what is the most horrifying thing your parents have ever done? My dad stole my mom. That's what my brother, who was 5 or 6 at the time, told his teacher while we were at school one day. I wasn't much older than maybe 7 or 8, but never thought anything like this would happen to us. My family was like any normal family, or so I thought. My mom did her best to hide all the things my father used to do, and she did it very well. Back to the story. I was called into the guidance counselor's office because my brother was upset, quote unquote, and the teacher couldn't control him. Since I am his sister, they called me to see if I could figure out what was wrong, and that's when my brother told me. That's when the brother told the guidance counselor what happened. We got ready for school. My mom got ready for work like any other day. As we left the house, walked to get in the car, my father appeared out of nowhere and was talking to my mom. My mom had a weird but not frightened look on her face as she told us to get in the car. We were happy to see our dad, but didn't know of anything going on between them. He walked right past us and directly towards our mom. Now they're yelling and my dad hops in the driver's side of my mom's car. My mom ran to the passenger side and opens the door as he starts to drive off. She makes it in the car. My brother and I watch from the sidewalk as the car goes down the street and directly into a busy intersection ahead, then disappears. Our neighbors, who are our cousins, just dropped us off at school and told us they pick us up at the end of the day. The guidance counselor started crying and told us to wait in her office while she made a few calls. The assistant principal came in a few minutes later and talked with us, asking about our family and if we had any other relatives that could look after us. He called our emergency contact, which was my aunt, and she came out and got us, and the principal allowed us the rest of the week out of school. My parents were found by the police at my mother's church after they reported a suspicious car in the parking lot. My father was arrested and charged with kidnapping my mother, filed and received a restraining order. A few weeks later, after Easter, is when all hell broke loose. My father is still under the restraining order when he drops by while we're at school and leaves an envelope with $40 in it in the mailbox. When we get home, my mom checks the mailbox and sees it and splits the money between us and puts it in our piggy banks. We do our homework, eat, and get ready for bed. My dad called on the phone asking for the money he gave my mom and wanted it back or he was going to kill her. She told him not to come over here and said the police would be waiting if he showed up. Well, guess what? He came anyway, and she called the police. He took off before the police came, so guess what? They didn't do a thing. Just told us to call if he came back, not knowing the whole time he was in the back of the house because the police failed to check the entire property. But by now it's 9 p.m. and tonight we all slept in the room with my mom because of today's events and the previous events had scared us to sleep in our rooms. So as we're laying in bed, we hear a noise at the window, so we're thinking the dog got locked outside. My mom goes to let the dog in and he comes running into her room from the living room. My mom tells us to go in our grandfather's room and wait for her to come get us. By the time we get out of bed, our dad had torn the screen off the window and was hitting the glass window to break in. I took the phone in my grandfather's room and was trying to call the police, but the phone line was cut. My grandfather at the time was very sickly and maybe 82 years old with lung cancer. We hid behind my grandfather's breathing machine and my dad came in shortly behind us, and all I could hear was my dad telling my mom he was going to kill us all. Our mom yelled to us that she loved us and for us to stay here. She was his true target and not us. Heard the front storm door lock and saw headlights from my mom's car in the driveway while we're stuck in the house with our crazed father. He took a gun out of our grandfather's drawer and headed to the front door after my mom. He kicked the storm door with so much force that the entire frame came off with it. I'm right in behind my dad, yelling and crying for my mom to take us with him and that he has a gun. I'm standing in the front of the yard just yelling and crying for help, and then pop, 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 my dad shot into the car and the car just inches backwards out of the driveway until the curb from the opposite side dropped. Oh my God, I didn't know this was going to be so crazy. Holy shit. This person watched their dad murder their mom. My dad turns around and walks towards me and says, "I'm so sorry," then points the gun at me and pulls the trigger, click, then points the gun at my brother, click. He took the gun and pointed at the air and it fired. Then he dropped the gun and ran off. Police arrived shortly for numerous calls of shots fired. With all this going on, my mom was alive and only barely injured. She was shot in the arm, but if you ever saw the car before it was fixed, you would have thought nobody made it out alive. The driver's side headrest had two bullets that went through it and into the back seat behind it where I usually sit. The passenger rear seat had a hole directly in the middle of it. My brother normally sat. Here it is 25 years later, and we are all fine. The police caught my father, and he was sentenced to a whopping 18 months in jail for burglary, breaking and entering, and domestic violence, but not three counts of attempted murder.
Hey, can we give a huge shout out to restraining orders, though?
Dude.
What a joke. Restraining orders need to come with ankle bracelets that fucking immediately, if you come within any distance of this person.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You should lose your freedom, like, when you have a restraining order.
Yeah, and you know what? It's so hard to even get a restraining order. I tried to file one time on, I won't say who, but and they need so much information and so many records of a pattern.
Dismiss everything else.
And like, you have to be able to prove so much that you're in danger to even get one. And then it doesn't matter, because if you have one, this shit could still happen.
And this shit happens all the time. And what if the gun went? I mean, the gun goes off usually in every story that I've heard.
Dude, that person was being saved by a guardian angel.
That's insane, bro.
He pointed it at her, it clicked. Pointing at the brother, clicked. And then pointing at the sky, and it fired.
And the mom survived.
And the mom just got shot in the arm, even though the bullet holes were in the headrest, like where her head was. That's crazy. Definitely, you were meant to be alive, but wow.
Jesus.
That's insanity. Yeah my parents side. Never did anything that bad.
God, no. My God.
I can't think
of... What was the initial question even? I don't even know. I'm so...
It was, what's the most horrifying thing your parent has ever done? Whoa. How weird. Look at the first comment is from this person.
Oh, that's weird.
From Cheryl Green.
That sounds like my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, look. I mean... It was never, my dad used to yell a lot.
Yeah, same.
But I had a great nothing time like that. Compared to that.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm so grateful.
I'll take it.
I'm very grateful.
I'll take it.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I thought this was going to be more of a... Reddit's a little more light, I feel like. Usually it's some like cute, like a cute story.
Or like, you know, a creative writing session.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
This was heavy. Okay. Okay, I cannot believe that the dad only got 18 months.
For burglary. What did he burgle?
Well, breaking and entering.
But like...
Oh yeah, and he didn't burgle anything.
What
really.
Did he burgle?
Maybe he burgled a knife or something.
Okay. Hopefully he burgled the gun from the house.
Oh, yeah, the gun.
Like, he burgled the gun. That was the grandfather's gun. So yeah. He burgled that.
He did
and
burgle
that's it.
That.
And that's it. Okay. Thanks. Moving on.
Okay. How about this one? Because okay. I feel like I wouldn't know anything about this. And I would think I was doing a good job.
Okay.
I caught an accident on my dash cam. I turned the footage over to police. Now the party that was at fault is suing me. What should I do?
What?
So this person caught the accident, like, so witness basically, and caught footage of it.
Yeah.
And gave it to the police, and now they're being sued by the party at fault.
Makes sense. Well, no, the first part makes sense.
It says, I saw that happen to a debt collector who sued a person for a debt they did not owe. They also got a few other things and filed an FDCA violation and got as costly as $150,000. A good lawyer will save you a lot of grief and money. All the answers are just like, get a good lawyer.
But wait, the first part makes sense. Like you saw something, you submitted it to help out, like with what happened, like you witnessed something.
You know, that's the problem with lawsuits and suing is that you can actually sue for any reason, whether or not you win is a different story.
You can counter-sue.
But the fact that, like I could sue you for looking at me wrong or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you don't defend yourself, which costs money to defend yourself, even if you don't have an attorney, even to file the paper that says I'm not guilty is like $300, $400.
How do I file the paper that says guilty? Because I did look at you wrong.
And I'm like, I'm suing you for $10,000 for looking at me wrong. Then you have to pay $10,000 if you say guilty.
Right.
And if you don't defend yourself, then you lose by default because you didn't say no. You didn't say I'm not guilty. So then you're guilty by default and you lose and you owe $10,000. So it's really ridiculous that that this person ends up in this situation.
Dude, one of the best things that ever happened when it comes to me getting into an accident was I was going to Maker Studios back in the day and I was parking. Everybody used to park at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Back then, because like there was no parking at Maker.
Yeah.
And so I was parking at the grocery store and I was trying to pull into a parking spot and this stretch Hummer is like driving like in a left turn in front of me. And I just sat there. I was in my black truck at the time and I didn't move. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I just sat there parked. And as this guy like went across my vehicle and he scratched his own Hummer against my truck. Well, I didn't move. I was just sitting there.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets out and he's all pissed at me and like yelling at me and all these witnesses start coming up and being like, hey, you fucking like scratched your shit against this young man's shit.
Yeah.
Because I was like 23.
Yeah.
I look like a fucking...
You were a young man.
I look like I was drafted by the Marlins in the first round.
He wants to make it clear he's not talking about himself now.
No. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. She knows me. So then this guy's like in my face and he's like, hey, fuck you, you stoner motherfucker. And I was like, I get that I'm like...
A kid.
Yeah, I'm young and I'm dressed. Probably, I wore a lot of Urban Outfitters then, so I probably looked like I blazed.
You tricked me.
But I don't. I was like... And you know what's so stupid about me too is that I was like, I've never smoked weed in my life, dude.
Of course you did. Honed in on that part.
I honed in on that. Well, I also called him a bunch of names that I don't want to mention here.
Okay.
But I also was like, I never smoked weed in my life, dude. You fucking dumbass. All this shit, you know.
You do have a rage aspect to you where I'm like, yo, if it's clear this person's the crazy one, like you don't have to.
Well, what was funny is he's wearing like a limo driver's hat. Uh-huh. And he's got like the full like the suit thing that they wear and all that stuff.
Yeah, but you had enough witnesses saying that like it wasn't you.
Well, no, this is before the witnesses came up.
Oh, okay.
So he's like laying into me about how I'm going to pay for this and all this shit. And I'm going like, and he's calling me like the stoner and all this stuff. And I'm going like, you dumb motherfucker and all this shit. And you know, I'm actually laying into him pretty cleverly. I think I got to his feelings a little bit. No, and all I mean by that is I think I got to him enough.
Yeah.
Where by the end of this, I had enough witnesses coming up to me and saying, like, this young man did nothing wrong. Like, you're such an asshole. Because like, he was very much yelling at me, and I was just retorting to him.
Yeah.
So then by the end of this interaction, he ended up hugging me.
What?
Yeah. Because I think I cut him pretty deep on a couple of things. And he had enough people that were confirming that he was wrong that he realized that he was wrong. And then he fell into my arms, kind of.
Oh, my
which
God.
Which is super weird.
That's super weird.
I swear to God, this happened.
I would be scared that he was going to try to get you on assault or something. Like, right? You touched me. You know, like, he hugs you. And then, well, if he's the type of person that crashes into you and then accuses you, he could be the type of person that hugs you and then accuses you of assault.
No, it was a handshake at the end of it. He's like, hey, I was wrong. I think I messed up here. I apologize. And I was like, it's all good, brother. And then we shook hands. And then he looked me in the eye, looked him in the eye, and then he like crumpled into my arms almost. And he's like 300 pounds. I was like, I can't hold you, bro. This is fucking crazy. But he was like emotional about it.
Oh.
Because it was such a heated moment.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
Once you realize you're wrong. And fuck, I feel terrible.
But it's fascinating. And that 100% happened. Like, I remember it like it was yesterday, but I remember where I was, everything. But yeah, it's just so interesting. Once you have enough people agree that you're wrong, to see the way that he was able to try to comply with that and then accept it was fascinating.
Yeah. One time that happened to me where I was at a gas station, not the same exact thing, but I was at a gas station and this kid, he looked like maybe 19 years old behind me. I didn't know until after this happened, but he was behind me and he was on his phone pulling out from behind me. So we're at the gas station. I'm in the front pump, he's in the back pump, and he pulls out around me. And he's not paying attention. He's on his phone. And he completely sideswipes my entire car.
Shit.
Yeah. And then I'm like, what the fuck?
What's the damage?
Huh?
What's the damage? It was pretty crazy.
I mean, yeah, my entire car is sideswiped. And he starts being like, you crashed into me. Like that kind of thing. I'm like, I haven't moved. I've just been sitting here. You crashed into me. Yep. And you're on your phone. And then you could tell he was getting scared. Yeah, so he was like doubling down. Like, no. And he had friends in his car. And he's like, yeah, you crushed it to him. And like, then all these witnesses started coming out. And I was like, I'm going to follow. I need your license and registration. I need to take a picture of it for insurance. And he's like, no. And he wasn't giving it to me. And then I was like, well, I'm going to call the police then. Because I'm going to file a police report. And I started taking pictures of his license plate and all kinds of stuff.
Done.
And he started getting so scared. And so he's like, okay. Here's my license. And here's my
Whoa.
He ended up paying for it, like his insurance paid for it, but yeah, like that whole like they crash into you and then accuse you of it is so wild.
Well, and what's ironic too, because I think, you know, if I go back to that moment, which I tried to do at the time, but you know, he was coming at me so hard, like he's probably under so much stress. He's got a big fucking Hummer limo that he's trying to like get into a grocery store parking lot.
It's probably his business too.
Probably his business, or probably like he works for somebody else and like they have a couple of cars. And so he's got to pay for the damage or whatever. But at the end of it, before he hugged me, he was able to buff out the quote unquote damage to his limousine with like a little handkerchief.
Oh.
So it was nothing.
Oh, okay.
Like it was like the most nothing. But he thought it was everything because it was like this huge 9-foot looking line.
Sure.
So because the front of my truck like had some dirt on it
or
whatever.
All that built up stress, yeah.
Yeah, and so he's just stressed from all that. And I can empathize with that. And if he had come at me like that, it would have been much different. But because he came at me all heated, I had to come back all heated because you know how I am.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
So with this person's situation with the dash cam thing.
Yeah.
I saw someone had commented, look into seeing if the lawyer that's suing you, like the lawyer that's representing the guilty party, basically, that's suing the dash cam person, has a history of settling out of court. Because sometimes there are professional lawyers that use this intimidation tactic to just get money.
Oh, right.
And that's what happened to me.
Of course.
That's what happened to me.
Right.
And you can countersue.
Good.
For a lot, too. And then they...
Change the story.
They have to be on your terms too, but you have to pay for that. You have to pay for your own attorney and then put it in there that they have to pay for your attorney fees if they want to pursue it and lose in court.
Right.
Yeah. The only downside is if they try to like big ball it and like actually go to court and you lose, then you have to pay for all of their attorney fees.
See, that's rough.
But I can't see, I mean, obviously you should consult a legal team, but I can't see how that would ever pass in court, like where someone just providing footage to police that was requested by police would end up with you losing the case.
That scares
There's me. No way.
How do you get involved with the case? Even that scares me.
How do you get involved?
Well, no, you obviously got involved, but how do you get involved like with the initial complaint?
Oh, like, yeah, you were like, oh, that's why witnesses don't want to get involved.
I get it.
And I get it. Yeah.
I get it. Because
like
I'm
now you're just a witness and
you're
like, you're hey,
like, I tried to do the right thing.
Yeah. I have footage. And then that got the guilty party obviously is now definitely guilty.
And by the way, can we please get more footage and less eyewitness testimony? Because eyewitness testimony is fucked.
Yeah.
If you ever look at eyewitness testimony, like the way that statistically eyewitness testimony has been so inaccurate over so many eons, it's like insane.
Did you ever see the Black Mirror episode on that?
I did not.
So there's this Black Mirror episode where basically there's a new technology where your eyes become a recording device and it records everything constantly, like your whole surveillance thing. And it's really helpful for, you know, witnessing things because you can just rewind to that moment and you can see exactly what happened because it's recording. It also is helpful for like if you flopped an interview or like you want to get better at something, you can review your performance.
Okay.
You can review what went wrong. But then people started obsessing over little things like, well, the way he looked at me, did he look at me like this or like this? And then they go back and examine it and stuff. So you start obsessing over little things. Also in the episode, the guy's girlfriend was playing sex footage of her having sex with her ex while they were having sex.
Oh my.
Like that kind of stuff would happen. And so the whole thing is, so the guy decides to take his out and that's like, whoa, what the fuck? It's like people deciding they don't want to have a cell phone anymore. Right. Or like,
or become Amish.
Yeah, you're like off the grid. And so there's this whole dinner party scene where one of the girls is like, oh, you trust your own memory? Like, that's crazy. You know, and she starts rattling off statistics about how inaccurate memory is and how that's really dangerous to not have this implant in your head and to choose to go natural.
Commando.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because it becomes a social pressure too of like, ooh, like almost like the vaccine, anti-vaccine thing where like it's not only the aspect of like, oh, you're choosing this way, but also the social pressure aspect.
Yes. Yeah. There's always that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Well.
So anyway, moving on. Oh my God. See, like, this is what I mean. I was about to read this next one because I'm like, oh, I love this headline, which is, what are some good examples of life isn't fair, right?
Okay.
But then like I read the first sentence of like the one of the responses and it's like, my wife was killed on the way home from work. Okay. I'm like, oh my God, Cora, like don't lure me in with like a fun topic.
Wow.
And then just, wow. And he even includes a picture of the crash.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Cora's a fucked up minefield.
Let me see if I can find that one where
yeah, I want the girl. That's all I want.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so I found it. Yeah, so look at this. Look at this. The title is We Love Cats. Like the topic is going to be about cats. But then the actual subject line is, my husband had an affair with my mom while I was on my deathbed. Now they're married.
Finally.
Okay. So you want to hear this?
Yes.
How this panned out?
Was she a MILF at least?
I don't know.
Had to be, right? Had to be. In our best world, she had to be.
Wait, where is it?
Big time MILF. MILFy MILF? Had to be.
Oh, it was deleted.
Oh, no.
We'll never know.
Surely there's screenshots. Oh, come on.
We'll never know. Probably because it wasn't about cats.
Oh, come on. Okay, I found what happened at the beginning of this episode when Nikki said, a woman is claiming that her mother started an affair with her husband while she was in intensive care and now they have gotten married.
Yes.
Camilla
DeMello.
DeMello was hospitalized for 78 days after she suffered from a stroke following bariatric surgery. We don't know what that is and we don't care.
I believe it though.
However, she was in the ICU. While she was in the ICU, her mother and husband began a sordid affair. The pair broke her and her father's hearts. Okay, I'm seeing a picture right now.
Okay.
I'm assuming that one is the mother and one is the daughter.
Okay.
And I think we would all rather be with the daughter, I think.
Okay. Well, actually, I can't tell. I make a guess.
I mean, yeah. Okay.
They both look young.
So, As a teenager, oh, Camilla says, as a teenager around 13, 14 years old, my mother started to compete with me. She was only 20 years older than me and said that my clothes were better suited to her. Her food was better. Nothing I did was good enough. When I was 25, I fell in love with a boy 10 years older than me. We got married August 2013. In the following year, our now six-year-old son was born from a complicated pregnancy. In 2017, the young woman had surgery to balance her hormones. Camilla said, during this period, my mother, I swear I can't call her a mother anymore, went to my house to help my husband take care of our son, who at the time was 4 years old. My father had stayed in the interior of a state in Brazil with my younger brother. Only later did I learn that in the 4 months I spent in the hospital, much of the time between life and death, my ex had visited me twice and my mother none. When Camilla's dad came to take her home from the hospital, he told her of the deception. The young woman said, I had the worst pain of my life and it wasn't physical. Without much ado, my father, who had already taken my son, said that his wife and my husband were having an affair. It looked like he was being stabbed in the chest, a mixture of disappointment and disbelief. Camilla added, I called my mother, very nervous. I said I had left the hospital, I was alive, and asked if it was true that they were, in fact, together. The answer, yes, together and very, very happy. I could not believe what I had heard. The couple are still married, and Camilla's son sees his dad and grandmother weekly.
What? That's so weird. So your grandma is also your stepmom?
Camilla added, my son stays with his father 2 or 3 times a week by court order. It's not easy. I'm obliged to allow my little one to live with this toxic and harmful relationship.
That's crazy.
I recently learned that my mother is keen to celebrate their relationship anniversary on March 2nd without even disguising that she started going out with my then husband while I was in the hospital.
Yeah, that's narcissism.
That is insane.
That's crazy. That reminds me of like Brittany Murphy's mom hooked up with her husband after she died.
Oh, that's right. Was that alleged or not?
No, it was true.
We'll say alleged just in case.
They slept in the same bed after.
So it's alleged.
Yeah. I don't know. I bet you could Google it and confirm.
If they had a Casper mattress, maybe they didn't even know they were in the same bed.
Oh, wow. Sponsored by.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're not sponsored by Casper.
We're not, actually. We would beg them.
We do sleep on a Casper mattress every night, and we love it.
We would literally beg them. So thank you for that.
I was sponsored by them on Big Mood a long time ago.
Cut that, Mark.
Yeah.
So that is insane.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, just a blatant display of narcissism.
Well, that's when you're like, fuck it. I don't even care what my actions do to anyone else.
Exactly.
Wow.
You're narcissistic. Wow. Abusive and narcissistic.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I know a friend's mom who's like this.
Me too.
Yeah.
I know what friend you're talking about.
I think we both know.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's bananas.
It's bananas.
Like, how are you a mom even?
Like, why would you wear a white wedding dress to their wedding?
And I bet that wasn't even that surprising to her. I mean, it's surprising, but yeah. I bet she was abused in her childhood by her mom.
Oh, I'm sure.
If not emotionally, if not physically.
You're talking about the mom was by her mom.
No, I'm talking about this girl.
Oh, right. This person.
Who's got the mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking about the mom had to have emotionally abused her.
Yeah. This is the icing on the cake.
Yeah. Crazy. Oh. Anyway.
What a horrible expression, by the way, putting the icing on the cake when it's such a horrible thing.
Well, you could say it about horrible things or about good things.
Must be a boysenberry cake, something nobody really wants to eat.
Oh, boysenberry cake sounds good.
Must be a...
probably a better muffin.
Tapioca cake. Nobody wants to eat that.
Texture is kind of weird, yeah. See? Yeah, it's true. See? Well, anyway, that brings us to the end of today's episode of all the shit that they do not tell you.
About podcast and network.
Okay.
And we are Steve Green and Nikki Nemo alike. And we would like to thank you all so much for helping us out on Patreon. It helps out so much. The whole the show is supported by Patreon 1,000%.
Patreon.com/Tiki. Links in the description.
And we also have a show in there called Crypto Corner where I take you through all my crypto moves, and it's very fun. We enjoy it very much.
And we do live streams every month, and we do a bonus episode of Shit They Don't Tell You, Cost Shit They Don't Tell You After Dark, and we have a Discord community.
And if you have a question for us via the Q&A, hit us up. Podcast@nikki.limo.
All right. Cool. And Casper, hit us up anytime you want.
We would love to talk. We have some interesting ideas about marketing. Mm-hmm. What if a mom got into bed with her son-in-law? He can't even feel her get into bed.
We'll see you next time.
And that's where we're starting. Bye.